But the truth is, we're on a journey to becoming more like Christ. And there's many a days, I'm sure Jess would tell you that, you know, I'm definitely not like Christ-like. So, but we're on a journey. And thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy that we're able to, you know, just dig into every single day of our lives. So I have the privilege this morning of preaching this message. And it's one that really I hold dear to my heart because it's something that I feel that all of us at some time or other are finding ourselves asking the question, or constantly in our thought process of how do we discover our purpose. So that's constantly on our mind. And I think we could even take it one step further, that sometimes when we're going through things and life isn't maybe panning out the way we always thought it would, or we're always feeling like we're on the wrong end of the stick, maybe like this is my relationship with God is just not for me. Maybe I don't actually have a purpose. Maybe there's just like, I just got to, you know, like a lot of people say, there's got to deal with what life is throwing at them. And that is far, far from the truth. When we start to understand God's word, when we start to understand who he is, who we are in him, how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. And I just pray and trust this morning that this word is going to, you know, touch your hearts. So how do we discover our purpose? We have two options this morning that we can take away with us. The first one is speculation. So speculation is the activity of guessing possible answers to a question without having enough information to be certain. For thousands of years, brilliant philosophers have speculated about the meaning of life. Philosophy is an important subject, but when determining the purpose of life, even the wisest philosophers guess. That's interesting to know, eh? Hugh Moorhead, a philosophy professor at a major American university, once wrote to 250 of the best-known intellectuals in the world, asking them, what is the meaning of life? I'm sure you're all ready. You're expecting to hear the answers. It's going to help us go forward. It's going to help us just, you know, align ourselves a little bit more. But I'm pretty sure you're going to be quite surprised by the answers. He published their responses. Some offered their best known guesses. Some admitted that they just made up a purpose for life. And others admitted they were clueless. Many of them asked him for his book so that they could go find out what he had actually written in his book to help them understand a little bit more about purpose and the meaning of life. But thankfully for us, there's another one, and it's called revelation. Revelation means to show us something we did not know or see before. In Christianity, revelation refers to the way in which God reveals himself to us. When it comes to our purpose or your purpose, we need to ask the Creator. We need to ask God. We need to ask him to bring us into revelation of what he has created us for, what our purpose is. But I want to take it one step further. All of us right now, the Holy Spirit is talking to you and you have stuff that God has given you. My encouragement is to be faithful with what God has given you now. Continue to focus on what you have right now in your life by obedience, by trusting God. And as you take these steps of faith and your faithfulness, we'll see God open more and more doors. And you start to see the plan that he has for your life and what he wants to accomplish through you. Last week, we learned that our first purpose is Christ. Our second purpose this week is Christ-likeness. You know, for me, one of the most interesting characters and men in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. He has such a passion to share the gospel. There's a desire on his heart to take the revelation that Christ has put in him to share with people. It doesn't matter to Paul where he is, what hardship, what trial he's going through. If he is about to be beheaded, he will pass a sentence like, in all situations, keep your head. And in every opportunity that Paul had, he wanted to preach the gospel. He wanted to show people Jesus. And it's no different in Galatians. So just listen to how passionately Paul speaks to the believers in Galatians. He says, my dear children, for whom I'm again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Friends, that is part of our purpose, to be more like Christ, or how Paul so wonderfully puts it, until Christ is formed in us. So I have three questions this morning to help us on our journey of discovering our purpose. Why do we need to change? What does it mean to be more like Jesus? And how do we become like Jesus? Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of truth or the word of life. This seems to refer back to also in to Deuteronomy 32 verse 5, where it says, they have corrupted themselves. They are not his children because of their blemish or perverse and crooked generation. So I would like to just bring us to that one statement where it says warped and crooked generation. And I would say that is a pretty strong statement that Paul is making. But yet, in the Bible, it is pretty much how he describes mankind in our natural state, warped and crooked. When we look at Israel, I feel that Paul is communicating with us that we shouldn't be like the rebellious Israel, who were constantly complaining and disputing with God. We all know that we all know the stories in the Bible about Israel, how they were often far off from God and the plan that he had for their lives, how they were often, their heart was far from God. You often read and see the stories of how they worshipped other gods, how they served other idols. That when it came to God's final revelation of Jesus Christ, many of them missed it or didn't want to believe it or pulled themselves away and actually were quite offended by Jesus. And when you look at the world, this is a mirror image of how the world operates today. The world is, there's a rebellion against God and the acknowledgments of God. The world misses Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. The world misses the love that we can have through Jesus as born-again believers. Israel's purpose was, our purpose today is to shine like stars. It says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. This is not an encouragement to do something. It is a simple statement of fact. You and I, born again believers, Israel, are to be the light of the world. The biggest question that we've got to ask ourselves is, how brightly are we shining? Paul saw that the lights were in a bad place. You might be sitting here today in a bad place, going through a whole lot of different things, not knowing if anything is going to turn out. You know, you're crying out to God, you're praying, asking him to change your situation, and nothing is taking place. Paul saw that the lights were in a bad place. Instead of excusing the lights for not shining, Paul knew that their position made it even more important for them to shine. Being in a dark place, friends, is a great incentive to shine. So whatever you experience and going through, allow the Holy Spirit in you, Jesus Christ himself, to shine bright in you so that whatever is going on in your situation will start to change. And it might take a year or two, but we continue to press in, trusting that God is going to do the work that God says he's going to do. So why do we need to change? We are lights in the world to be the beacons of hope to the world. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the presence of a human being. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So what does it mean to be more like Jesus? From this passage, it's to be humble, to be sacrificial in our love. This verse tells us that Jesus, in very nature, was God, and that he was equal to God. We know that God is one being existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Son, Jesus, is the one who comes to earth in human form to do what? To show us, friends, what God is really like. To show us what God is really like. Jesus humbled himself to embody God-likeness to us. To show us that God is not the kind of God who takes advantage of people. God is not selfish, self-absorbed, loveless, power-hungry. God is not unjust. Friends, God is not this dominating God or this ogre that the world makes him out to be. He is really, really not. God, through Jesus on earth, is our role model, our example of how to walk in humility. And my encouragement to you this week is to go into the scriptures, go into the passages where the passages and scriptures speak about Jesus. Go learn and see his character. Go learn and see how he dealt with people. Go learn and see what he did in his quiet time and how he engaged and what Jesus did on earth. And we start to see God in human form as our example of how we can outlive our life, because when we come into Christ, he is a part of who we are, because we are given the Holy Spirit. And the very characteristics of Jesus that we see in Scripture is something through the Holy Spirit that we are able to outwork in our life today. And that's where Christ likeness comes from. This verse tells us that the pinnacle expression of God's love, or Jesus' love, was him dying on the cross for us. The very people who were crucifying him were amongst the people who he was dying to save. Isn't that amazing? Hey? Think about situations we find in ourselves when we get a bit, you know, offended by someone. We wouldn't even maybe take a call from them. Yeah, Jesus is dying on the cross for people that he knows that actually don't even believe in him and actually have put him on the cross. On the cross, Jesus literally loved the world to death. Amen. On the cross, Jesus literally loved you to death so that you could come back into his family and have union with God and be in the family of believers, to redeem you from whatever you need to be redeemed from. The very wounds that our sins were inflicting upon his body and soul were the wounds through which salvation and love flow upon us. See, the biggest question you've got to ask yourself is, do you believe this? Because when we start to believe this, signs and wonders follow those who believe. So the very words of God, and when the Bible comes up, when we start to believe this stuff, that's where we start to see the fruits of the Spirit work in our lives, when we see Jesus and God work in our lives. This self-sacrificial love from Jesus that he has displayed is to be the benchmark of our lives. We ought to relate to each other with courage, patience, grace, love, kindness, mercy, and endurance. And I put that word endurance in there because if you think about what God had to, or Jesus had to endure in order to save us, I think there's something that he is revealing to us that we need to have in our character to endure here on earth, in our relationships, in our walk with God, as we walk out this life with them. There's an endurance that needs to take place, just like Jesus does and still does today for us. But yes, I know what you're all thinking. Humility, sacrificial love. Wow, it sounds all good, but come on, Ryan. It's a lot more challenging to outlive this in our everyday life, living in a world which will redeem that as weakness. Take it one step further. Maybe you're going through some stuff and experiencing a whole lot of different things. It could be with your wife, your husband, your boss, with people in general. And are you telling me I need to be full of humility in this time, sacrificial love? Are you out of your mind? Yes, that is how we got to live our lives. And understand that the world might say that you're going to be run over, trodden upon, taken advantage of, But let's continue to read this passage of Scripture. Yet the exact opposite is true for Jesus. And if we in Jesus, the exact opposite is true for us as we outlive this life of humility and sacrificial love. So let's listen what takes place. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus' humility and sacrificial love are a precursor to him being exalted and victorious. So when we are in times of struggle and hardship, and we bow our knee to Jesus, in those times where things are too tough and hard, and we acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and we respond to him through the Holy Spirit and what he can only do, friends, the same is very true for you and I. It might take a bit of time, but we will be exalted and we will see our victory. So what does it mean to be more like Jesus? It's to carry humility in love and trust, and at the proper time that we will be exalted. So here's the big one. How do we become more like Jesus? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God has a good purpose for every single one of us sitting here today. So how do we become more like Jesus? We are called to work. Continue to work out your salvation. But I thought God has done it all for us. So I don't understand. I thought, you know, we're meant to rest, take it easy. You know, just trust him and everything is just going to fall into place. No, we're called to work. We are called to work out our salvation. We are also told, and this should be the most encouraging thing that is shared this morning, it is God who works in you. God is 100% in this with you. He's 100% in this relationship with you, even if right now you might not feel it or see it or even know how to express it. God is 100% in this relationship with you. But, and this is probably going to be the biggest but that I ever use and share with anyone, but we have to be 100% in this relationship with him. It is a partnership. It's a union that God wants to work out with us. Yes, of course, God by a click of a finger can change everything and anything in your life just by going, Lord, I need help. You know what happens eventually? God is not even a thought. He's a distant memory, a thought, if it's just a continuous, because all of a sudden life is going on and there's no need if God is just always, we will forget about him. God chooses to give us a choice, and it is up to us to choose to work with him. So this is how I interpret work. Okay, we take God's word, and our work is to believe what the scriptures say about God and who we are. It is us taking steps of faith by obedience, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, navigate us, work in us when it comes to making different choices and walking into the relationship that God has for us. It's taking the plans in the Bible and what God says and believing them and then outworking them in our lives. It's to know that the fullness of salvation is ours, but it's like if I go to gym today, I'm going to start gym today. I'm going to do one workout and I'm going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It does not work like that. There's a whole lot of stuff that needs to go in to have a physique and to be fit. And it's the same in the kingdom. We have it all in its fullness, but we've got to outwork it with God in partnership, 100%, being obedient with him. That's how transformation happens in our lives. God is doing a work in us. A few chapters down the line in Philippians, it says that he who started a good work in you will see it to completion. So this good work that is completed, okay, we got to go out, we read the scripture, now we get to get into the lane that God is putting us in by obedience and faith, and we continue to walk towards the completion of what God has for us. But There's another but. Some of us might not ever see the completion of what God has for us on earth, but we experience in the fullness of it when we go to heaven. But there's a work that we have to do now in order to see what God has for us, the life. It says we have a new life. How do we work and find the new life? We press into what God has for us. We need to work out our own salvation. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Have a very high view of God, where we honor Him and hold Him in higher awe than anything in this world or in our lives. So ask yourself, you don't have to mention anything, what in your life is at the pinnacle right now of your process of thoughts and your actions that actually you are holding at a higher regard than God? And then maybe you need to do a bit of an adjustment there to see the very thing that God wants to accomplish in your life. But many a time we've got to say no to things in the world in order to say yes to God. We should strive to become more like Jesus in forgiving others, humility, and sacrificial love in all areas of our lives, in our marriages, in our workplaces, here, among each other, wherever you go. Humility, forgiving others, and sacrificial love. But friends, I can't stress this enough. We can't do this on our own. God, in all His kindness, empowers us through the Holy Spirit to be more like Christ. You might be sitting here this morning going through a whole lot of different things. Whatever it may be, God knows and you know what you're going through. The hardship, the uncomfortability, it could be financial, it could be a problem in a relationship, a marriage, whatever it may be going on. Maybe it's been going on for some time, where you find yourself now waking up in the morning feeling faithless, hopeless in the situation because you actually just don't know what to do. Actually, you've got to a point where you don't even know what to pray for in order to see your situation restored. I want to leave you with this encouragement this morning out of Romans 8, verse 26, where it says, in the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness, we do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should. But the Spirit Himself knows our need and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. That right there. If you read a few scriptures down, it says God cares about us. He loves about us. He's given His Holy Spirit to help and guide us. The Holy Spirit is known to be the wonderful counselor. So many people go spend thousands and thousands of rands on counseling, where God has given us His Holy Spirit to be our wonderful counselor, to lead us into a life of life and godliness, to lead us to freedom in the things that we struggle with. So you might be asking yourself, so how do we outwork this with the Holy Spirit? We work with the Holy Spirit in two ways. Our choices and context. For time's sake, I'm just going to read through choices. We must choose to do the right thing in situations, but in a way where we trust God's Spirit to give us His power, love, faith, and wisdom to do it. Since God's Spirit lives inside of us, these things are always available to us when we are asking Him for it. Faith choices are especially important to us. If you're a born-again believer, our choices in life need to be based on trust and faith in God, where we activate it through obedience. Throughout the Bible, we see an important truth illustrated over and over. The Holy Spirit releases His power the moment you take a step of faith through obedience. Over the last couple of weeks, Peter in the boat, in the storm, Jesus walking on the water has been coming through in different forums here where we've been around. So I'm just going to ask you for 10 seconds or so, just to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to take that position of being Peter in the boat. You're out there on the boat. You are not on your own in the boat. You're surrounded by some people, the very people that should be encouraging you, lifting you up, saying it's going to be okay because we have, you know, we know that Jesus is there. But what is taking place in the boat? Is fear, doubt starting to creep in? All of a sudden, Jesus is walking on the water and He just shouts out or calls out, Peter, calls out Will, Mark, Andrew, Tyron, Aiden. Calls out to you and you go, yes. Is that you, Jesus? Yes, it is. Now come to me. Come to me, Tony. See what happens. We hear his voice. We activate the faith through obedience. But okay, I'm going to come to you. And we take that step of faith. And through the activation of faith and obedience, what takes place? We see the power of God harden the water under his feet. We know the story goes on where doubt starts to creep in. But he's saying to us, continue to walk by faith and obedience, knowing that the very power of God is with us to walk through with us. Obedient choices, friends, unlock God's power. My encouragement to you this morning, whatever you are facing and going through, whatever weaknesses, shame, you hurt, disappointed, this week, take a step of faith in spite of how you feel and the fears that you might hold on to. This is how we partnership with the Holy Spirit and how we become more like Jesus. Context, being in the Word. You know, all of us, if you're a mom or dad here, we will tell our kids how important it is to have breakfast, lunch, supper. You know, you've got to get those stomachs full. And, you know, it's the way to a healthy life. Friends, that is how important God's Word is to us. We need to be continuously in His Word, hearing, reading, studying, reflecting God's Word. The Holy Spirit is actively at work when we're in God's Word. God's Spirit lives to use God's Word to make you more like Jesus. Why don't we stand as we finish off? There's just two more. Being in trials. All of us here are in trials and tribulations, going through a whole lot of things. But the most important thing, revelation to have, what you are experiencing right now has not been caused by God. But He does allow us to go through this, because that's when our characters are developed. That is when we most see the Holy Spirit and God work in our lives. If you had to take 1 minute to think about some hardship that you have been through, and you look back, you would see the freedom. You would see how God has used that situation for good. You would see how you have grown and come into freedom, and you would see how your characters have actually been developed. You might be going through something right now. God is doing a work in that area. Look out for what He's doing. Don't look at what He's not doing and how bad the situation is. God is moving and working. And the final one is being in community. Until the day you die, you will hear this word community spoken. God is very clear in Scripture that God puts the lonely in family. God, you are created and you are designed to be in community, in the family of believers. And that is why Jesus died on the cross, to bring back those that bear His image into the family, into community. We have life groups, Sunday mornings, prayer meetings, the list goes on. But I want to take it one step further. As a family, we should be brining together, having dinners together. We should be on our cell phones, SMSing, WhatsApping, making a phone call. Not to say how bad everything is. The Bible's very clear. As brothers and sisters, we should be encouraging each other, building each other up, sharing our stories and our revelation with each other. Why? Because we want to see people become more Christ-like. And your story will influence the next person's story. I never think it's a coincidence. It's always a God incident when we're around people in our life groups. Their story overlaps our story, and they might have victory in that area, and that you go in through it, and then you speak. They speak into your life, and they share their testimony, the goodness of God. It stirs your hope. And you see, encounter God. We encounter God together. We find community, our tribe. And together, we see each other fulfill the destiny and purpose that God has for our life. Can I pray for you?